Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So you remember back during the former guy years? Back when Scott Walker was still the governor in Wisconsin, and they had this grand deal. They were going to bring in this Foxconn manufacturer, you know, the place in China where they have nets in the hallways because the working conditions are so bad that people were literally leaping to their deaths in the hallways. So instead of making conditions better, maybe paying a little better, maybe a little extra pudding in their lunch, no, just nets. I want to make sure we catch them, punish them, and then put them right back to work. Well, we were going to build one of those here, and it was supposed to be amazing. It was supposed to be huge, enormous. I think it was a $10 billion something or other. No, it was a $4 billion deal they were going to do. No, $10 billion plant. They were going to get $4 billion in state and local money, and it was going to create 13,000 jobs. It was going to make Wisconsin the flat screen panel TV capital of the world. Well, here we are a couple years afterwards, and I guess they're like 290 jobs, pared down that 13,000 number a whole bit. And with it, the tax breaks, but I guess there's a new deal. And here to share some thoughts on the new Foxconn deal, I've asked Robert Craig to come talk with us. He's the executive director of Citizens Action of Wisconsin. Their website, citizenactionwi.org. Robert, thanks for taking time for us.
Always great to be with you, Rick. I remember your time here in Wisconsin during the great public employee protests of 2011.
Yeah, at the beginning of the Walker era. And I'll tell you, I am so happy you guys got rid of him. And in here, another Walker bad deal. But, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, $10 billion plant was supposed to be built there. That hasn't happened.
Yeah, and it's even worse than the 13,000 jobs. I'm one of the people who was a glutton for punishment enough to sit through the 10-hour hearing, the only public hearing on it in the state legislature, to testify. And every business leader of the major business leaders in the state and the major educational leaders, everyone you can imagine, all came in succession, said how wonderful it was. And the business leaders said, no, with the multiplier, it's 35,000 jobs because of all the other jobs that the $13,000 would create. And this is the best deal they've ever seen. And when I was sitting there waiting to testify, sitting next to Stephanie Bloomingdale, the president of the state AFL-CIO here in Wisconsin, I was looking at research online, and we were paying $15 more per job than what is standard in these development deals. And that is not a high bar. These development deals all over the country are horrendous giveaways. They're not the best ways to spend money in order to create jobs and employment, especially not union jobs, right, if you well know, Rick. And so, I mean, if you do the multipliers on taking $4 billion of public money, you know, investing just directly in education, in green jobs and climate, would produce many more jobs than even their promises, and it would have happened. So there was the money available. We tried to take the opportunity to say, well, Scott Walker all of a sudden says there is money once Foxconn asked for it. So why don't we invest this for real in the future of the state and build family supporting jobs, union jobs, and to prevent climate genocide? And of course, no. And it's been worse than my testimony against it. And I was worked up enough that it went viral, the testimony I did, but you know, I understated it. And right, 289 jobs. They have empty storefront, like kind of headquarters all over the state. Those were put in the cities across the state during Scott Walker's reelect in order to try to bolster that this was going to help the whole state. And this was brokered not only by Scott Walker, but by Donald Trump. So this reflects both of their economic geniuses, which is shovel money out to big corporations and you'll solve the problem. Now, the state's defense is, well, we didn't really have to do many of the tax credits. They haven't done anything. They haven't met any of the benchmarks. Well, all the infrastructure improvements that the state made with widening highways and creating roads, that was done. In addition, the Racine County and the village of Mount Pleasant, the community it's in outside of Racine, the city, is going to go bankrupt with what they had to do to enable this. They went in hock with huge amounts of TIF financing and other things that has to be paid back. And so, you know, this has been a horrendous disaster for an area that was just used to make things, used to big manufacturing center, global trade and deindustrialization and the free trade, corporate trade regime gutted Racine. And so they were desperate and went along, but now they're in hock to something that probably still won't happen at any real scale. And so I know there are a lot of back and forth and weird stories about Foxconn, but it's even worse than any of us predicted when this was launched upon the state with great fanfare, Rick.
But a lot of these conservative, you know, constructs, you know, like tax cuts create jobs and, you know, all these myths that they throw around, you know, the trickle down economic stuff. You know, this was another one of those things that was sold to us as this is the way forward. If we give them all the money, they're smart, they'll know what they'll to do with it, and they're going to take care of us. And again, we end up getting held the short end of the bag. And I got to wonder how much money, you know, is there any definitive amount that the state has lost that could have gone to education or to infrastructure or to anything else? I mean, we'll get to the deal, what little details we know in a minute, but how much since 2017 has been lost?
I mean, one can try to calculate the cost of the infrastructure, what the county and Mount Pleasant are going to lose, and that they can't, Racine County can't afford to lose it, is unknown because all that bonding hasn't come due yet, right?
Right.
But there's also a huge opportunity cost here in that what is the other economic development strategy for the state that could be making a green transition? But I remember when there was already signs they were behind when Scott Walker was being asked what's going on. He goes, well, Foxconn knows what it's doing. We don't know anything about flat screens. And so, you know, I'm sure they have a plan and that they're brilliant and that's why they're in business. Well, they have a history, including with Pennsylvania, of claiming they're going to build something and never building it. And they've done that to a number of other countries. It is probable that they did all of this to please Donald Trump. And when Scott Walker lost, now Donald Trump is lost. They have no incentive to do anything real here. There are rumors about them doing electric cars. It doesn't, they have some deal with an electric car manufacturer. It doesn't seem to make sense. They said either this plant or Mexico. What do you think it becomes, Rick?
Mexico.
Yeah. But I don't have off the top of my head a number. But I can tell you, this state and states and cities across the country continue to do smaller deals like this each and every day. This is what constitutes city economic development policy. National Public Radio says $80 billion a year is spent on these incentives, and they are not a good way to create jobs. And the best research from the major think tank in Michigan that actually tracks these things, even it says even the good ones are not the best use of the money and have doubtful returns. But this is what, in this whole era since Reagan, that included Clinton and Obama's economic policies, has come to mean economic development in this country. We need to get back to something that's a lot closer to the New Deal planning model, where we invest and do and build what we need to do and employ American people to do it.
No, I'm right there with you. And this is one of the things that I've talked about for a while. We've got to stop relying on corporate America to bail us out. They're never going to do it. We've got to start employing people ourselves. I've often said that I would love to see us get rid of all welfare and handout programs and give people jobs. If the private sector can't or won't create enough, the public sector has to. And we take that money that we would have handed off to Foxconn or to Caterpillar or to whomever, and we use that money to put people to work directly to do the things that we need done, from building our infrastructure to taking care of our senior citizens. This is not a hard thing to figure out. That you need stuff done, you got to fund it.
Completely agree. And by the way, the agency handling the Scott Dunn deal is a privatized jobs agency. Walker privatized the whole sector in Wisconsin. I took it out of the Department of Commerce, created something called the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. You know, we have a very moderate Democrat governor. He didn't get rid of it at all or even campaign against it. And he has just a less outrageous corporate leader running it. And so it's secret what this deal is, because it's stuck within WEDEC. They're negotiating it, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And I don't have, I mean, I have more faith that it's a Democratic administration, that it won't be a total ripoff, but it's still a bunch of corporate types deciding what to do. And this is their whole mindset. So I don't have faith that this is going to be a very good deal, but even if it is, we should pull the plug on Foxconn altogether. And since Racine really needs jobs and is really on the hook, let's actually do something public there and not rely on some exploitive global corporation that, you're right, who is so sadistic that their employees have to be prevented from committing suicide. Their jobs are such hell.
No, you're spot on. And again, it comes back to every bad, you know, corporate idea, from the tax handouts to privatization. I mean, in my neighborhood, they're talking about privatizing a county nursing home, and we everyone knows how that's going to turn out. You're going to turn out with higher, you know, nurse to patient ratios, lower wages for the nurses, lower unemployment, lower retirement security, less coverage for health insurance. It's going to be bad top to bottom, except for the guy who owns the place, who's going to fill his pockets with the assisted living money, because we've seen this movie over and over, just as we've seen these bad deals like the one at Foxconn.
Now, you can imagine, I don't like the model, that there are a lot of people who don't have good jobs who need them, a lot of black and brown folks in Milwaukee and Racine that are proximate to this. Well, they weren't going to set up a huge training program and try to do anything like that. Scott Walker was running ads in buses and L trains in Chicago looking for people. And you know what they did? They only chose the lines that went through the north side. That is the white knowledge worker part, you know, Lincoln Park and all of that. And not any of the lines that went into the major African American or Latinx community. So we were just trying to go, not even employ Wisconsinites, but try to lure, and these ads were hilarious. They talked about how congested Chicago is and how you're on a bus and you could have your own ranch house and your own garage if you came up to Wisconsin and worked plus somewhere like Foxconn.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say with that. I mean, I remember it, actually. And it's one of those things where you just go, where do you go with that?
If you're a young person, you live in this vibrant urban community with all these great restaurants and bars, you don't actually even want that suburban ranch house. It's like a terrible ad.
Yeah, I don't want to live in the middle, especially because it's even colder. But here again, back to this new deal. Do we know anything at this point? Anything at all?
We know it's going to be scaled down. We know that they're saying that they'll have more flexibility, whatever that means. We'll see what the standards are. Look, I even think, you know, the state of the art, like whatever states and cities have the best of these deals, they're still not worth doing. It's right. A question of how bad they are. I can't imagine that WEDEC, the way it's run, which Contact Development Corporation, is going to negotiate all that good a deal, or Foxconn would even, maybe Foxconn will sign a better deal. And what do you think the odds are they actually live up to this one?
There is that. What are the odds that they're going to live up to that deal?
Their shills have been saying they've been meeting all the standards all along and meeting their goals. It's hilarious. Reporters are like, "What goals? You fit none of them."
It's because they want the money, man. They want the money. But we'll see it when the numbers finally come out. I want to change the topic real quick. Over the weekend, another shooting in Kenosha. I'm looking at Wisconsin going, you know, what's going on? What's going on across the country? Kenosha is almost the murder capital of the country. You know, we just got all kinds of craziness going on.
Well, we do have, increased homicide rate because of COVID-19. And of course, that's the whole pandemic is much worse by the right wing, by their attitudes on this, right? And that's our big hurdle. But we also have a structurally racist policing system. And even the cities that have tried to do the most have done precious little, despite what happened to George Floyd last year. We're in the, the jury has gone in to deliberate on that one. And there are so many structural barriers to this reform that it really is, in many ways, the most difficult thing we have to do in this country. Police do not make us safer, and we have to reconstruct our whole public safety system. I don't know if Rick, if your listeners know, horrendous things came out about Kenosha after the protests, after the shooting of Jacob Blake, where the sheriff's deputies were consorting with inviting in these white militia people, and they let the guy who shot three peaceful protesters, murdering two of them, who's become a right-wing celebrity and they've been funding him and funding his defense, that they let him just waltz out of the city, all seen walking by multiple police cars holding his weapon. And he was apprehended much later in Lake County, Northern Illinois, on the Wisconsin border near his home. And so that, contrast that to the way Jacob Blake was treated, where he gets to be shot in the back seven times, right? Because the police are trying to apprehend him. He's trying to, and he's leaning down with his back to them, right? So we see that over and over and over again. Can you imagine, you know, our U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who has become quite a national spectacle, says he wasn't afraid of the insurrectionists, but he would have been afraid if they were Black Lives Matter people, right? Which, of course, is thinly veiled. But furthermore, what people jumped all over that, reporters and the media. But what they didn't bring up is, of course, Black Lives Matter has never aspired to, or nothing they've done ever suggested they would lead an insurrection, ever take over the U.S. Capitol. So that's the even bigger lie. They're not similar in the least. But we have a problem that modern right-wing ideology, which has been fomented by plutocrats for their own purposes to destroy labor, to divide, it's become malignant to the point where it is proto-fascism is a polite thing to say about it.
Yeah, and I would argue that it all circles back to all of these bad conservative ideologies of handing money to these corporations through massive tax breaks and these bad deals, and all of the, you know, enriching the wealthy at the expense of the rest of us, which has caused this tension in a big way, in my view.
Now, you remember what happened when Scott Walker thought he was talking to one of the Koch brothers during the 9/11 protest. Didn't he sound like he was their hireling? Yes, sir. Whatever you'd like, sir. Right?
Whatever that you'd like, sir.
You've got to remember that the politicians are just hirelings. They're front people. They're not the real power here, the people we think are doing it, from the right-wing political leaders.
Yep. No, it goes back to Jay Gould. I can easily pay half the working class to murder the other half, and we're seeing it sadly playing out in front of us. But, Robert, I appreciate the time. It's always great talking with you, my friend. Keep up the great work there in Wisconsin.
Thank you very much, Rick. You keep up your great work. And the PRO Act, Manchin's a co-sponsor now, so I'm sure you'll be talking about that.
Yeah, let's get him to do something on the filibuster, and then we'll talk. Thanks so much, Robert. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizens Action Wisconsin. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.